Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Sex Offender Registration and Residence Changes Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On April 4th, 2016, the Supreme Court decided Nichols v. United States. Petitioner Nichols, a registered sex offender who moved from Kansas to the Philippines without updating his registration, was arrested, escorted to the United States, and charged with violating the Sex Offender Registration and Notification Act. SORNA makes it a federal crime for certain sex offenders to knowingly fail to register or update a registration, and requires that offenders who move to a different state shall not later than 3 business days after each change of name, residence, employment, or student status inform in person at least 1 jurisdiction involved of all changes to required information. After conditionally pleading guilty, Nichols argued on appeal that SORNA did not require him to update his registration in Kansas. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the 10th Circuit affirmed his conviction. By a vote of 8-0, the Supreme Court reversed the judgment of the 10th Circuit, holding that SORNA did not require Nichols to update his registration in Kansas once he departed the state. Justice Alito delivered the opinion for a unanimous court. To discuss the case, we have James Barta, who is an associate at Mola Lampkin LLP. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Barta.
The essence of this case is whether federal law requires a registered sex offender to tell state authorities before he moves to a foreign country. This issue really originates in the patchwork of state and federal laws that govern registration requirements for sex offenders. It was really in the 1990s, following the horrific murder of a girl named Megan, that states enacted a wave of laws requiring sex offenders to register. The Supreme Court noted in its decision that Congress followed up on this by making the creation of registries a condition for receiving federal funds. You know, this effort was largely successful. By 1996, every state had created a sex offender registry. Unfortunately, this system, administered by 50 different states and with some federal oversight, created a number of holes. Congress estimated that up to 100,000 sex offenders were unaccounted for. In 2006, therefore, Congress repealed previous federal laws dealing with registration requirements for sex offenders and replaced them with the Sex Offender Registration and Notification Act, SORNA. Justice Alito noticed in his opinion for the court that this sort of wrought 2 major changes in the law. The first was that Congress made it a federal crime for a sex offender to knowingly fail to register or update his registration. And second, Congress sort of amended the provisions that govern how sex offenders must register when they move between states. Congress has dealt with this aspect of registration in several different ways. Originally, Congress had said a sex offender moving, say, from Florida to New York must update his registration in the state to which he moves, you know, in this case, New York. Later, Congress said the sex offender should tell the state which he was leaving, Florida. SORNA, of course, repealed that and replaced it with a more opaque requirement that says a sex offender shall, not later than 3 days after each change of name, residence, employment, or student status, appear in person in at least 1 jurisdiction involved and inform that jurisdiction of all changes to his information. It was this requirement that the Supreme Court was interpreting in United States versus Nichols, and that question really turned on what it does the SORNA mean by 1 jurisdiction involved. Is that the state that a sex offender is leaving or to which he was going? Ordinarily, this phrase would not make much of a difference, because a sex offender who travels within the United States simply needs to register when he arrives in his new state of residence. This case, however, presented a more unusual situation in which a sex offender leaves a state and travels to a foreign country where he has no ability to register. So in this case, Nichols left Kansas and moved to the Philippines. Now, there's no dispute that he violated state law by leaving without telling Kansas where he was going, and there is no dispute that he violated the terms of his supervised release by moving to the Philippines. But the question was whether Nichols violated SORNA by failing to tell Kansas that he was going. The federal government extradited him and managed to convict him under the theory that when, at the moment Nichols left his residence in Kansas, when he abandoned it, he had to update his registration status with Kansas because that remained a jurisdiction that was involved for purposes of SORNA. To resolve this question, the Supreme Court took a very straightforward textualist route. It noted that SORNA requires a person to appear in at least one jurisdiction involved pursuant to a different subsection of the statute, subsection A. And subsection A, in turn, mentions sort of three places where a sex offender should register: where he lives, where he is an employee, and where he is a student. Putting those two provisions together, the court said that there are only three jurisdictions involved, and notably, the statute talks about each of those jurisdictions using the present tense, where a person resides, is an employee, or is a student. Therefore, the court held that, once Nichols left Kansas for the Philippines, he no longer resided in Kansas and therefore had no obligation to update his registration because Kansas was no longer involved jurisdiction. The court noticed that one other provision buttressed that conclusion. SORNA also says that a person has up to 3 days after a change of residence to update his information. Of course, Nichols could have, updated his registration the day that he left Kansas, but Justice Alito, writing for the court, said that no one using ordinary language would think if that's what the statute meant. Instead, if Congress wants a person to register, Justice Alito said that Congress simply should have said that, which in fact Congress had done in previous statutes. Thus, the court concluded that SORNA's plain text, and in particular its consistent use of the present tense to talk about where a person must register, means that Nichols did not have to update his registration in Kansas once he decided to move to the Philippines. Now, the government had a couple arguments that it made to the contrary, and the court took up each of those in turn. The first was that the government says a jurisdiction, in this case Kansas, remains involved as long as a sex offender appears on its rolls. But the court said that that was reading something into the statute that was not there. It was reading in a requirement that a jurisdiction involved is somewhere where the sex offender appears on a registry. Now, relatedly, the government also said that another portion of the statute, one that listed the information a sex offender must provide to a state, supported the conviction. That portion of the statute said that a sex offender must give information as to where he resides or will reside in the future. But the court was not persuaded by that either, saying that that portion of the statute merely lists the information a sex offender must provide to a state. It says nothing about whether a sex offender must update its registration once he leaves the state. And finally, the government argued that Nichols had actually changed his residence twice. Once, at the moment when he abandoned his apartment in Kansas, and second, when he checked into a hotel in the Philippines. Again, hearkening back to his earlier comment, Justice Alito rejected that argument. He said that no one uses ordinary English in this way. If someone moves from, Florida to New York, you simply say they moved once, not that they moved when they left Florida and then moved again when they arrived in New York. Nor, if someone goes on a road trip, Justice Alito said, will we say that they move each time they change hotels. The statute simply contemplates that a person moves once. Ultimately, what is perhaps most noticeable about this decision is how little impact it will have. As noted in the briefing before the court, the the situation where a sex offender leaves a state and goes to a foreign country and is itself rather unusual. Moreover, while this case was pending before the court, Congress enacted a new law known as the International Megan's Law that fixes precisely the problem that the parties were arguing about here. Under this new law, a sex offender must now provide information about when he travels overseas, including to live. And under this provisions, Nichols' failure to update his registration would have undoubtedly violated federal law. Thus, the Congress did exactly what Justice Alito said that it should have done in the first place, state in ordinary English what it requires sex offenders to do.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.